Walter Max Aliat Sisulu was born out of wedlock at Mutubeni in the Eastern Cape shortly after the birth of the ANC in 1912. He was the product of a black domestic worker, Alice Sisulu, and a white assistant magistrate, Victor Dickinson.
I used to hear from my mother about my father. Not quite a clear and connected story. He would show me photos of my father's sisters. They were whites.
Walter Sisulu's highly respected uncle, Jantshi Hlakula, shaped his character. Not only did the old man teach him about Xhosa culture and tradition, but he also punished him when he dared to ask, who made God?
I myself developed through reading Bible. As a child, I began to understand things. I began to look at the world in a global sense.
He was a champion stick fighter. And his first brush with the law came at the tender age of 10, when he was arrested for collecting sticks in a government forest. After Standard 4, he dropped out of school to avoid being punished for stick fighting. Shortly after that, his uncle died and he decided to venture out of the village.
I was also influenced by the atmosphere of the village. I went to Johannesburg with some of the boys. I needed to support myself.
The first time Walter Sisulu ever saw a train was when the teenager caught the Mbombela for rural mine recruits to the Rose Deep mine near Germiston.
It was decided that I was too young, I can't go to the mines underground. They got me a job in a dairy. My job was to swash cans, bottles, and then accompany the driver of the cart to deliver milk.
He was only allowed to work in the bowels of the earth after his traditional initiation.
It was terrible. You work hard. You have to dig stones by shovel. You're being driven. Come, Elisha.
Circumstances forced him from job to job in the 1930s. He was a domestic worker, newspaper advertising agent, distributor and columnist. He was also a paint mixer, census enumerator, marketing agent and eventually a real estate broker. By this time, many black people were seeking his advice and assistance. As he came into contact with powerful African politicians, trade unionists and journalists, he also gained first-hand experience of police arrests.
Nothing has ever been as haunting as the bus laws. You felt indignant about it every time you thought of it.
He emerged as a public figure after his family was forcibly removed from Durinfontein to the New Orlando Township in 1934. His activities with the local civic association propelled him towards politics. And by the age of 28, he had found his political home.
I was enrolled by a trade unionist in Bele, and I was myself impressed and found that this is the organization I needed. And that is how I joined the ANC in 1940.
1 year later, Walter Sisulu met three of the most important people in his life. Albertina Tetitwe, who became his wife, as well as Oliver Tambo and Nelson Mandela, who became his closest friends.
One day, Mandela, together with Justice Mtikaka, landed in my office. I was at once struck by the personality of Nelson. I found a person who just answered my hope. This is a young man who must be developed, who has a great part to play in the movement.
Walter Sisulu was a key driving force behind the creation of the Youth League in 1944. It revolutionized the ANC into a non-racial and mass-based liberation movement. By the age of 37, Walter Sisulu was elected as the ANC's first full-time Secretary General. The ANC offered to pay him £5 a month, but didn't always.
I knew that there's no money to finance the movement. But I was obliged, once I was elected, I knew that whether I'm paid or not, I had to be full-time. I had confidence in my wife. She supported me fully.
He was also the organizing genius behind the ANC's major political protests in the 1950s, especially the 1952 Defiance Campaign against discriminatory laws. Well, Walter Sisulu became the first person to put apartheid on the United Nations agenda and to lay the foundation for international solidarity. In 1953, he travelled overseas for the first time without a passport. He'd been invited to the Youth and Student Festival in Romania, but his five-month trip also took him to the United Kingdom, Czechoslovakia, Poland and Israel, where he saw Cry the Beloved Country and the site of the Last Supper. In China, Walter Sisulu enjoyed the people, but not their food. And in the Soviet Union, the Metro Underground, Moscow State Library, and Swan Lake at the Bolshoi left their mark. But more importantly, his trip through the Iron Curtain influenced him to become a communist. Stringent banning orders eventually forced him to give up his position as ANC Secretary General in 1954. But this didn't stop him from organizing the Congress of the People at Cliptown and the Freedom Charter.
A great deal of thinking went into that document. And I think we look at the world as something that everybody must feel comfortable to live in.
In 1956, Walter Sisulu was among 156 senior leaders arrested for high treason. At the preparatory examination in Johannesburg, a huge wire cage had been constructed to confine them like wild beasts. It was dismantled after their lawyers protested. But Walter Sisulu was only acquitted after more than 4 years. The apartheid government banned and forced the ANC underground in 1960 after the Sharpeville massacre. 1 year later, Walter Sisulu was a moving spirit behind the ANC's decision to launch Umkhonto we Sizwe and the armed struggle. He became MK's first political commissar. Round about this time, he was arrested for attending a gathering. He was actually mourning his mother's death. In 1962, Walter Sisulu was probably the most arrested political leader. After being convicted of incitement, but out on 6,000 rand bail, Walter Sisulu disappeared in 1963.
When I was underground, I was operating Radio Freedom.
On the 11th of July 1963, the police swooped on the ANC safe house at Lily's Leaf Farm in Rivonia. The ANC's key leaders were just about to discuss Operation Mayibuye and guerrilla warfare. No one escaped. This was the last time Walter Sisulu was ever arrested.
They were even afraid to come near my cell because I was a terrorist. In fact, I was the most dangerous man.
This dangerous man was the key defense witness in the Rivonia treason trial at the Palace of Justice in Pretoria.
When we were asked to plead, both Nelson and I pleaded not guilty. Instead, we accused the authorities of being guilty of treason.
Walter Sisulu's comrades and lawyers described his testimony, memory and composure under cross-examination as absolutely brilliant. Nevertheless, he was convinced that Transvaal Judge President Cortes de Wet would send them to the gallows on the 12th of June 1964.
The sentence in the case of all the accused will be one of life imprisonment.
52-year-old Walter Sisulu described his life sentence as a relief. In the early hours of the next morning, the seven Rivonia trialists were chained and flown to Robben Island. The grim and wretched prison was designed to punish, demoralize and silence them, whether they were breaking stones in the courtyard or the lime quarry.
If there's anything that has kept me alive, it's singing. J.B. Marx, upapeli kotane, liva ise parlamenti, kibona vai meri baruna. Du, du, da, da, du, du, tamroka, butapeli kotane, liva ise parlamenti, kibona vai meri baruna. That was an indication to say to the people, we are going to be in parliament.
The quarry became their centre of learning, where Walter Sisulu educated fellow prisoners in politics and ANC history. After many years, he eventually got his O-levels. His favourite pastime was reading old newspapers over and over again. His hobbies were drafts and Scrabble.
I'm not even a good man in spelling, but at least I could win the competition.
He only saw his wife Albertina for the first time in jail towards the end of 1964, but they weren't allowed to hug, kiss or touch each other. A fence of twisted wire and a sea of noise kept them apart.
I think we're allowed 2 visits a year, 1 visit every 6 months. And even the conditions of this visit was horrible.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
Suddenly, on the 31st of March 1982, Walter Sisulu and 3 close comrades were transferred to Polsmoor Prison in Cape Town. Only then could Walter and Albertina Sisulu experience their first contact visit in almost 18 years.
I have no bitterness. I don't think my wife has got bitterness. We both get angry about certain situations. Bitterness, no.
On the 10th of October 1989, newly inaugurated President F.W. de Klerk announced the unconditional release of 8 political prisoners. 77-year-old Walter Sisulu was one of them.
I was excited to be back home to meet my family, and I was particularly impressed, and I said so when I was asked about what changed. You noticed the tremendous politicization of the people.
But he had little time to savor his freedom. At the end of that month, he addressed a massive ANC rally in Soweto, the first in decades.
We stood for peace in our long struggle of resistance. We stand for peace today. We will stand for peace tomorrow.
In February 1990, President de Klerk stunned the world by unbanning the ANC and releasing Nelson Mandela. It was Walter Sisulu's privilege to introduce the political leader he had groomed.
He is known in South Africa. He is known in the world. Kgoleshilahla, Nelson Mandela.
Walter Sisulu was also part of the ANC team that met the National Party government on talks about talks at Grote Skier in Cape Town. He was 79 years old when the ANC's first national conference in 4 decades elected him as deputy president. And then came the day for which he had lived and fought, South Africa's first democratic election in April 94.
It was a remarkable moment. I can never forget a situation which I'm unable to describe properly. My whole life was geared towards this.
1994 was a memorable year for Tata Sisulu, as he was affectionately known. He witnessed Nelson Mandela become South Africa's first black president. He and his wife celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And he retired from active politics at the ripe age of 82. But not to sit next to the kraal, as he put it. South Africa's freedom and democracy had preoccupied him for too long.
Well, I'd like to be remembered as a man dedicated to the struggle of the people. I think that is what I was. That is what I did. I would like to have reached a position whereby I inspired the youth for greater ideals.